Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That's what it's all about, right? How amazing would it be to wake up and think about your day instead of your diet? That's what we're here to do. If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what's weighing on you, what's eating at you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating, it's not food. That is not the problem. The real problem is what's going on inside. What is eating at you? Food is actually a solution to the problem. So tomorrow is Valentine's Day, February 14th. And what better topic to discuss today than love? But first, with Valentine's Day comes chocolate. Chocolate, the food of the gods. As one person put it, chocolate isn't a substitute for love. Love is a substitute for chocolate, she says. Wow. Okay, so what about chocolate cravings? Let's see if we can understand them a little bit better. So Dr. Deborah Zellner, who's a psychologist and professor at Shippensburg University, believes that women crave chocolate because they've turned it into a nutritional taboo. Tastes wonderful, but it's sinful because it's loaded with fat and calories, so you can't have it. So naturally, you want more of it. And that really aligns with what I say about the anticipation of deprivation will always make you want something more. And she doesn't just think this. She actually did a research study that proves this. So here's what the study found. Women crave chocolate because they've told themselves it's something they cannot have. Dr. Zellner conducted a study comparing chocolate cravings in Spanish women and in American women. And she found that Spanish women who do not see chocolate as a forbidden food do not crave it. They crave chocolate much, much less than American women do. So she attributes chocolate cravings entirely to psychological associations. The other thing about chocolate cravings is if you're having a monotonous diet, if you're having all like, you know, sort of boring veggies and nothing that tastes all that yummy, well, guess what? You're going to really crave chocolate because it's delicious. And it's don't just take my word for it. There is a study published in the journal Psychology and Behavior, and they followed a number of healthy young adult men and women. And they gave them a diet for 5 days. All they did was give them nutritional shakes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 5 days. And everyone on this one-note diet reported significantly more cravings than they did when they were eating a varied diet. So if you're craving chocolate, maybe it's because you have the anticipation of deprivation. If you think you can't have it, naturally you're going to want it more. And if you're diet is too bland or it's not delicious enough, well, that's also going to lead to cravings. So research shows that cravings have more to do with psychology than with biology. There's a much more science stuff that I had prepared for you, but I'm going to skip it because let's think about what do you do when that craving hits? That's what people want to know. Okay, I get it. It's psychological. What do I do? What do I do? Okay, first thing you do is you picture something different. So if you've ever lost focus because you suddenly start thinking about chocolate or ice cream or something forbidden, And you can't focus on what you're doing because your mind just keeps going to, ooh, what am I going to have later? Or what, telling yourself you're not going to have it, or just you've got food on the brain. Well, cravings interrupt cognitive functioning partly because they use the same parts of your brain. You can't, oh, there I go. Hold that thought. I'm going to answer my call. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Thanks. I'm doing well. Update. I just quit my job and already I feel like so much better emotionally, eating wise, everything.
Oh, wait. Okay. So you quit your job, you're happier. And then now that you're happier, you're noticing you're not
exactly
eating for comfort.
Yeah, listen to this. Yeah, yesterday I was so miserable and I was like dreading the project I had to do, and they had all these snacks in the kitchen and I was just eating the snacks because I was dreading the project, and the snacks weren't going to help the project. I thought they were making me feel better, but they weren't. They were just making me fat.
You were expressing your, were they crunchy snacks or smooth snacks?
They were nuts.
Nuts.
It was
okay.
It was like trail mix. It was like almond, like I was picking out the almonds and the hazelnuts and the chocolate.
So nuts, anything crunchy gets associated with some kind of frustration or anger. So you were frustrated maybe with the job as a whole, and that was expressed with nuts. But you took care of yourself and you decided to quit the job.
Yeah, I feel so much better. It's like a sigh of relief almost. I just like, yeah, I feel free.
Oh, I am so happy that you took care of yourself.
And thanks.
Some people stay for decades or years in a job that just steals their soul and sense of well-being. And I'm so glad that you were able to, pretty quickly realize that this was not right for you.
Yeah.
And that's self-care.
Thank you so much. So I called because I wanted to ask you a question about chewing gum. I did notice that once I started, while I was in this like job, I was chewing a lot of gum to like get the frustration and anger maybe out, or just like, I don't know what I was doing with the gum, but I haven't really chewed. I stopped buying gum, so I haven't chewed in the last like 2 days, I want to say. But there was a point where I was going through a pack of gum a day, and I felt like once I started chewing a piece, as soon as the taste went away, I would put another piece in my mouth, and it was kind of a way of like not eating. But the aspartame and the sorbitol and like all that stuff in it was making me hungry, so it was kind of like counterproductive where I was chewing not to eat, but then I would get hungry and I would end up eating, whereas if I didn't chew the gum, I wouldn't get hungry. So I just want to get your take on that.
Well, I mean, what you're talking about is what's logical, and what you're talking about is what's logical, and we want to look at what's psychological. So logically, you're trying to chew gum so you wouldn't eat and everything made you hungry or whatever. You know that logically. But the psychological part is that chewing, the scientific word is like mastication, right? Chewing is soothing. And we see this in babies. Like, you know, babies are upset. We pop a pacifier in their mouths. And they calm down because there's something about chewing that, you know, it reminds them, us as feeding, and we're just sort of we relax when we chew. Goes back to baby days. So you know, we no longer as adults are going to walk around with a pacifier in our mouths, but instead maybe we pop gum. So gum is like an adult can be. Not everyone who chews gum is doing it to pacify themselves, but if you feel like you're doing it in a compulsive, like sort of almost addictive way, then the chances are good that that is your way of trying to soothe yourself.
Yeah. Okay, that makes complete sense. Actually, you're right. It is that. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So I have to try to soothe myself in different ways and not use gum, right?
Right, and often, so when we're babies, we get soothed because of, we can't understand words. So we get soothed because we get, you know, we put something in our mouths or we feel held, or babies calm down when they're swaddled, some of them. So it's your body that gets soothed, which helps soothe your mind. But as adults, often we try to soothe our bodies, but what we really need is to soothe our minds.
Right. Okay. So, that makes sense.
Yeah. So thinking about, well, what would you say to a friend who was upset? You wouldn't say, here's some gum, you know, here's some ice cream. Here's some, what you'd say, you'd use words. And so, talking to yourself in a soothing, comforting, nurturing way. I've often talked about my acronym VARY, validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. That's a good template to use when you're upset or when you need soothing.
Wait, what is it? It's validate, acknowledge,
and reassure yourself. Now,
and reassure.
Honestly, it really should be acknowledge and then validate, but that did not go with my acronym. So, but they sort of go together. So it's like, it's like, it would sound like a couple days ago, you could have said to yourself, of course, I feel frustrated and upset and anxious and worried because I don't like my job. Right, that's sort of acknowledging and validating at once. This is what I feel, and of course I feel it. And then you reassure yourself, but you know what? I am not an indentured servant. I can actually leave this job. I can figure something else out, or I can make the best. I can do something so that I'm not always feeling this horrible way as I feel now. So you acknowledge what's going on. You validate it. And you reassure yourself that this is temporary.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. I love it. Okay. So the gum thing, so should I just stay away from the gum? I know you're saying just like don't abuse it. You're kind of using it to soothe yourself. It's an adult candy, whatever. I get all of that. So maybe it's better for me because I'm like kind of an all or nothing person to maybe just stay away from it or just use it in case of an emergency.
Well, I think you can use it as, because then you're talking kind of about willpower. And rather than have gum, don't have gum, it's the same thing with, you know, cookies or whatever people think they are not supposed to have. If you want it, why are you having it? Because it's one thing to have, say, dessert with dinner, and it's another thing to have ice cream to soothe your soul. It's another thing to use ice cream because it's going to make you feel psychologically better. So when it comes to gum, if you find yourself wanting to have gum, just think, okay, why? You know, what is this gum doing for me? Is it just because, hey, you know, I like the taste of that gum? I'm a fan of water, extra watermelon gum. It's like the best thing ever. It's so good. But that's different from, okay, I've got to have it and have it and have it and have it because I'm using it to soothe myself. Right. So just check it out. Like, what is the purpose of this, whether it's gum or food?
So what if it is to soothe myself? Then you talk to yourself. Okay.
Then you use the vary as a kind of a guide, because often we get so used to turning to food for comfort that it becomes automatic, and you know, then you're in that moment where you're just thinking about eating something or not eating something, and that's why I developed the acronym, so it's something you can have in your mind kind of follow as a guide. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to acknowledge myself. I'm supposed to validate myself. Yeah. Words.
Right. So then in that moment, I'm like, okay, I'm about to chew this gum to soothe myself. then I acknowledge and validate, like, okay, I'm not feeling well. I kind of want something sweet, blah, blah, blah. And then reassure myself saying what? Like, it's okay. Like, it's temporary. It will pass.
You
And
say,
then.
well, I would, if you say, I kind of want something sweet, I'd maybe, if you think of it be, or put it in your mind, what kind of sweetness do I need in my life?
Right.
What's
Okay.
missing from my life? And then you reassure yourself, I'm not always going to feel this way.
Yeah.
I've gone through tough times before and I've prevailed. The reassurance does not always have to be you're not going to feel this way. Sometimes it's reminding yourself like, "Hey, I can deal with tough things and I can deal with this."
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. I'm trying to think. Okay, also, before I go, I remember I called you in the past and I asked about like how to lose the last 5 pounds or whatever. And the one thing I remember you said was eat like if you were that weight.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to kind of like use that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Yeah.
why when I was talking about the study with Spanish women and American women and chocolate, people
Oh,
say, "Well, I just need chocolate because I'm hormonal," or "I just need
yeah.
chocolate because of this or that," and they attribute it to something physiological. But actually, the
Right.
study shows that it's something psychological. Spanish women in Spain are like, "Yeah, chocolate anytime," so they don't crave it. So
Yeah, you were saying that at the beginning of the show
yes,
today, right?
yes. So when you have the mindset of, "I'm the weight I want to be. I can eat whatever I want. Therefore, I can choose whether I want it or not." Then you're not going to be in that battle zone constantly. And then you can naturally, as some people say, release that 5 pounds.
Okay.
It's a total mindset shift, it's a paradigm shift, and it may seem impossible, but as Nelson Mandela, who should know, said, it is only impossible until it is done.
It is only impossible until it is done. I
Until it
love
is
that.
done. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So good luck,
Same.
Nicole. Keep me posted. Keep us
Same.
posted. And
I will.
again, congratulations on taking a big step towards self-care. Yay for
Thank
you.
you.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I'm gonna listen to the show. Okay,
Okay.
bye.
Bye. Aw. That's awesome. And I love how she recognized almost immediately the difference, when she was happier, what happened with food. So cravings use working memory, specifically the parts of the brain involved in sights and smells. So sometimes when we start craving cookies, we sort of imagine what it's going to taste like, what it's going to smell like, all of that. So scientists say that visualizing a vivid picture, such as a detailed rainbow, uses that same working memory. So when you engage in memory activities that use imagery sections of your mind, that reduces cravings. They've actually shown that imagery can lessen your sense of craving. Now, this is in addition to responding yourself and all the vary that I just talked about. So visualizing a favorite activity or a place, or like they mentioned, a vivid rainbow, that help people sort of calm down their cravings. While other things like taking a bath or saying the alphabet backwards did not help at all. Also, aromatherapy. Smells are strongly tied to our memories and our emotions. So when you smell something, for example, that's associated with a happy time, your brain perks up. And that smell can cue a desire to have that experience again. And if that experience has to do with food, you may have cravings for food. So we can outsmart our brains here too. So smelling a non-food odor helps defeat the craving for the food odor. So There is a study from a university in Australia showed that after smelling jasmine particularly, college-aged women reported their cravings for chocolate lessened. So how about that? Go and get a jasmine aromatherapy kit or a jasmine candle or jasmine perfume and spray it the next time you have a craving. Acknowledge what you're feeling. Be kind to yourself. See what happens. Also, if you start moving, a British study in the journal Appetite showed that women who walked on a treadmill when a chocolate craving hit reported a reduction in their desire for chocolate. So, of course, not everyone has a handy-dandy treadmill right by them when they have that craving hit, but any physical activity will help curb craving. So I hope that helps you this Valentine's Day. So, okay, back to Valentine's Day. So let's face it. Lots of people aren't in a relationship or they're not in a good relationship. So what then? So how about a Valentine's Day survival guide? And by the way, if you want to join me, if you have any questions, anything that you want to know about what's going on with the holiday tomorrow or anything that's on your mind, give me a call, 818-602-4929. So just like every other holiday, it is important to remember that Valentine's Day will soon be over. That means if it's torture for you, Valentine's Day will soon be over. It's just one day, 24 hours. All you have to do is make it through 24 hours. Actually, probably not even 24 hours because you're asleep for a lot of that. So psychotherapist Hilda Burke says Valentine's Day can feel like, and I quote, Valentine's Day can feel like a suffocating sea of soft, plush red hearts that one might rather use as a punching bag, and oceans of overpriced roses threatening to pierce already broken hearts. Ooh, ouch. Hold that thought. I got Nick on the line. Hey, Nick.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, crazy. But, you know, this food thing. Now, it really got me going from Nicole, and I'm eating a lot of, like, licorice and chewing and chewing and chewing licorice, and Chris buys all these great candies that she loves. She's got that sweet tooth, and the stuff is around the house, and add on to that, my craving for chocolate ice cream is unbelievable.
Okay, so, but wait. Stop right there, Nick. You are craving, you're chewing something that's very, you're chewing very chewy things, right? Those take a lot of, it's like chewing gum, chewing all the candies that you talked about. And then ice cream is associated with also with comfort and soothing. So last week you called and you talked about a very painful situation in your life. Could it be that it is easier at times to focus on what you're eating than on that situation that is eating at you? And that what you're craving is comfort.
Right.
And what you're expressing... Sorry. I'm going to stop cutting you off. What you're expressing with the chewing is your frustration and your anger and your resentment or whatever, and what you're craving is comfort.
That makes sense. It really makes sense because I don't want to think about my problem. I've talked about a number of times here with my son and things, and I'm eating, but you know, I never really ate that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just in my life now, I'm eating the candy and cookies and stuff. I never used to eat any of that stuff. And now it's like a way of life for me. And well, I know it's not good.
Well, maybe you never had this problem in your life before. Or you weren't allowing yourself to recognize that it was a problem. Maybe you weren't letting yourself know that it was as upsetting as it is. Could that be?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a big, big issue. It's a big thing in my life. It's my child.
Yes.
And it's really, I don't know, it's every day, and it's a bullshit text and, you know, mean things are constantly going, and he doesn't stop. And so I guess, I mean, I'm sure I hang up the phone and I read the text or whatever, and then hang it down, and I say, oh, I feel like ice cream.
Yes,
you know?
Instead of, I feel sad and hurt and angry and resentful and perplexed and bewildered and helpless and powerless over this. What did you say? How old is your son?
38.
38-year-old child who's verbally beating me up.
Yeah.
It's easier to turn on yourself and be upset with yourself because you can't stop eating candy or ice cream than it is to say, wow, this person, this my child is bullying me, abusing me, and hurting me. And that is so, so painful.
That's correct. That's what's going on. Well, I just thought I heard about the gum. I thought about the stuff that I eat and Nicole, and which is congratulations, Nicole, on doing that for yourself. And it's something I just have to learn to deal with.
Well,
I guess I do just concentrate on not doing it, just saying no to myself. Instead of, you know, walking and taking 10 steps and getting ice cream, that I bought, you know, it's nuts. I mean, I went out driving around, I had errands to run, and I'm driving around, and I go, oh, I know I got to go. I got to go to Ralph's, I got to pick up my ice cream. I mean.
So you now know that that is code, because we want to crack the code to this emotional eating. And the I got to get ice cream is code. For you, Nick, it's code for, I got to get away from these painful, upsetting thoughts, and I need some comfort. So the next time you find yourself going, I need to go to Ralph's for some ice cream, you know that means I need to give myself some love. Like, speaking of Valentine's Day, give yourself some love, not in the form of ice cream.
All right.
And I'm wondering, again, I know this would be very, very hard to do, but you say that he sends you these texts every day, multiple times a day.
Yeah, and then for nothing for a week, and then a whole bunch again. You know, he just is not knowing what he's doing. I mean, he's, yeah. He sends these terrible texts to me.
So, you know, you might consider something along the lines of blocking his text and saying, if you would like to speak with me, I am more than happy to talk with you on the phone as long as you are respectful, but I will not be, I will no longer be accepting these texts and set a boundary and set a limit. So, you know, if you want to talk to me, I'm here. If you want to see me, I'm here. We want to talk in person, let's do it. But I won't be allowing you to beat me up with your texts anymore. Not that you have to say it that way.
Okay. So what, I don't take up all your time here, but
no, it's fine.
What,
that's what I'm here for, Nick. I love when you call. all my callers.
I just don't. I don't understand. What do I do to stop eating the ice cream? By saying don't call me anymore.
You say.
Do I? Is there a substitute? Like my walking?
No.
Walk instead of eating?
No. that no, because you can't walk away your pain. You can't walk away your hurt. You can't walk away your powerlessness. You can't walk away your feelings. What you do is the same thing I told Nicole. You've got to give yourself comfort words. And that's where the very comes in. You got to say, of course I want to eat ice cream. I want comfort. And of course I want comfort because my kid is beating me up with words. And that's really painful. But I got to remember who I am as a person. I got to think about, this is the reassurance, who loves me? No one else treats me this way other than him. I know you've mentioned that your daughter is also, you have a complicated relationship with her too, but you know, you have.
It's not
like this. Yeah.
Right?
So yeah. You tell yourself, I have people who love me. I have people who see me. This is the way he sees me is about him, not about me. You tell yourself that he is not the arbiter of your worth. And he is not some, you know, person on Mount Olympus who knows some truth about you. And he's not someone you have to answer to. He is your kid. And he's disrespecting you. And you think about all the people in your life who love you and respect you and care about you. So that it bolsters you a little bit, so you're not just kind of overwhelmed by his barrage of cruelty. That's how you reassure yourself. Reach out to someone who cares about you.
Right. That's right. All right. Let me say thank you and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Nick. Happy Valentine's Day to you too. Be your own Valentine. Mm-hmm. I know you have a girlfriend there. Have a wonderful time. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But be sure to give yourself some love every day when you get these obnoxious, noxious, hurtful texts. They don't define you. Remember who the people in your life who love you and like you, and let that neutralize the nonsense coming from your son.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck. I wish I could send I wish I had a heart, you know, like I have applause, I have a buzzer, I have a drum roll. I don't have like a hug sound, but if I did, I'd send it to you right now. Let me know
okay.
how it goes. Okay. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, so heartbreaking. Yeah, you cannot exercise away your pain. You can only or eat it away. You can't eat it away, exercise it away. You can't positive think it away. You can't drop it. You can't let it go. You can't ignore it. The only way to deal with something painful is to acknowledge it, feel it, and respond to it. Respond to it. And that's where Vary comes in. So I got to just repeat Hilda Burke's quote about Valentine's Day, because it's so awesome. Valentine's Day can feel like a suffocating sea of soft plush red hearts that one might rather use as a punching bag. And Valentine's Day feels like oceans of overpriced roses threatening to pierce already broken hearts. Oh, beautifully put. Okay, so how do you deal with Valentine's Day? First, beware the trap of comparison. Many single people imagine that people in relationships are having a wonderful time on Valentine's Day, a wonderful life, a better life than them somehow. It's human nature to think that the grass is always greener. Of course, we've got to kind of guard against that way of thinking. The fact is, being single is no better and no worse than being a couple. Each has its issues. Being in a relationship on Valentine's Day comes with its own set of anxieties and pressures, no matter what. So if you're single on Valentine's Day, you have the luxury of putting your own needs first. So in the past, Valentine's Day might have been a celebration for couples, but you don't have to stick to that if you're single. Dr. Vanessa Marie Perry tells her clients to plan something special for themselves or with other single friends. I think that's called Galentine's Day these days. Galentine's Day with a G. So something as simple as hosting a dinner with other people who are single helps you enjoy some laughter, takes away any negativity or loneliness or bad feelings that you might have about the day. What about self-love? I just mentioned self-love to Nick. Here comes Valentine's Day tomorrow. And as children, we are all taught Valentine's Day is a day for romance. Flowers, candy, dinners, spa gifts. Ah. So the annual day has arrived. Who's going to pamper you, your dog, your cat, your bird, or nobody? If that's your answer, then there's only one thing to do, and that is pamper yourself. Pamper yourself. So if the idea of flying solo on Valentine's Day does not sound very appealing, think again. It may be the most appealing of all because you know more about what you want than anyone else does. It really is irrelevant whether you're single or married. Valentine's Day can be about taking care of you. And by the way, February 14th, I did not know this until recently, or if I knew it, I totally forgot it. February 14th is not just Valentine's Day, it is also Singles Awareness Day. Oh, for some reason that just cracks me up. Okay, so here's some ideas for you if you want to celebrate Singles Awareness Day or Valentine's Day on your own. Do one, do two, do them all. You're in charge. Pamper yourself. If you want to get get your own spa gift card, buy yourself a spa day, relax and indulge yourself in a deep tissue full massage. And if you can't do the whole big, you know, Burke Williams, that's a fancy massage, go to one of those Chinese places. The foot massages are actually full body massages. They're like $12. They are so worth it. If you have one in your area or your town, do it. It's great. Also, host a Galentine's Day party and have fun with your friends. You know, pop some champagne and share it with your friends. The best relationship of all is the relationship you can have with yourself. And by the way, this is so important because if you're not nice to yourself, if you're kind of hard on yourself, if you criticize yourself, if you're constantly disparaging yourself and picking yourself apart, then if you meet someone who does that to you, if they criticize and judge you and pick you apart, guess what? They're going to just seem like people who know you really well. They're going to seem really familiar and you're going to be really comfortable with that. And that's not good. We do not want to be comfort with criticism. Wait a minute. I just got to use my... No, we don't. No. We do not want to be comfortable with self-criticism. When you are kind to yourself, when you are thoughtful, when you are considerate, when you are gentle with yourself, when you're interested in yourself, when you are curious, not critical, then someone who is judgmental of you is going to seem like someone you want nothing to do with. And that's a good thing. And it's going to make it a lot easier for you to take in someone else's consideration and kindness and love and appreciation. So if you don't feel good about yourself and you meet someone who wants to be friends with you and they're super nice, often you're like, what? They don't really know me. I mean, why do they want to know me? Because you just can't imagine that someone can actually see you as a likable, lovable person. And so you feel like you're fooling them or you don't let them in your life. That's why when you have a positive relationship with yourself, you have positive relationships with other people. And that's what it's all about. So focus on your positive attributes. Look in the mirror and smile at the person in the mirror. Appreciate yourself for who you are. And by the way, you know, sometimes we are so often focused on what we don't like about our physical appearance. Try looking in the mirror and find something you like about yourself. I guarantee you, you will find something you like about yourself. And if you focus on that instead of what you don't like, you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to feel a lot better in the world. And when you feel a lot better, you are less likely to turn to food to try to feel better. So remember, there is nothing more important than self-acceptance, self-love, loving yourself, and self-acceptance, which I actually like more because to me it encompasses love, but it also means that you don't have to be perfect. Self-acceptance says, hey, there are things I love about myself, and there are things I'm working on, there are things I'm trying to be better at, and yet I accept the totality of who I am. I don't have to be perfect in any way. I can be perfectly imperfect and still be lovable. And that is a great stance to cultivate with yourself. Last week, a caller named Amanda called in at the last moment. Amanda, if you're listening, I would love for you to call back. But if you can't, I'm going to talk a little bit more about your call because it was about fear of she was afraid of putting herself out there in social media because she was afraid of being judged. And I started to talk to her about, well, who in your family or who in your life had judged her? And she said, well, her family was very judgmental. And so this really illustrates how our past experience can color our expectations of other people in our present. People say to me all the time, because I'm a psychoanalyst, they say, well, why do you always have to talk about the past? Is it all about the past? Like, come on, the past is over. And my point is, no, the past is not over. My work is to help you put the past in the past. But to do that, we got to look at how the past is being replayed in the present. So if Amanda had people who were judging her appearance in her family, then she's revived that or carried that with her and transferred that, as we all do. We all transfer our childhood or early experiences, not just with our families, but with teachers and friends and just, you know, our experiences of life. We transfer that to the present. We expect from people in our present what we got from the past. So to be able to recognize, Amanda, to ask yourself, the expectation that you have of the audience is your own judgment, and your own judgment likely came from being judged. However, my question for Amanda, if she was on the call, I would ask her, does she judge other people the way she expects to be judged? Now, she may or she may not, because sometimes when we're judged, we become very judgmental of other people. And I urge you to look at that in a judgment-free zone, a judgment-free way, because you just want to understand, oh, I do that, not like I'm a bad person because I do that, or I learned how to do that. And what you learn, you can unlearn. But what I find is often people expect other people to treat them as they were treated, not as they treat other people. So if you expect that other people are criticizing you and judging you and sort of taking you apart and sort of scanning you and thinking, oh, all of these things are wrong with you, but you don't look that way at other people, imagine that the audience you're afraid of is full of people like you. People who are more accepting, who are kind, who aren't just looking to tear you apart. Imagine that audience of people being more like you. I've talked about this before. I had I treated a singer who had horrible stage fright because she was sure that people were looking at her and tearing her apart. She was sure that they were thinking that she was fat or she wasn't as pretty as she, you know, seemed, or that her voice wasn't as good as it sounded on her albums. All kinds of things she was thinking that the audience was thinking. Now, of course, the audience was her. She thought those things, so she sort of projected them into the audience and then back at her. So the problem was her own judgmental stance that she took with herself. So when we worked through that and we changed the way she related to herself, she was able to go on tour. And she called me. She called me and she told me how well it was going. And then she said something really, really very interesting. She said that she thought different people were coming to her shows because she could feel the love from the audience. And of course, different people were not coming to her shows. It was, you know, she had a following. It was the same people, maybe some new people. But instead of her projecting her own mean voice into the audience back at her, she was projecting her kind, nice, accepting voice into the audience and back at her and sort of feeling good about the whole experience. And that is another example of how the way that we are with ourselves is crucial. So how much time do we have left? We have about 4 minutes. So if anyone wants to jump on a quick call, do so now, 818-602-4929. Otherwise, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I started to talk about, which is body image and media. So, you know, the fact is that media does influence body image. I talked about how in Fiji, within the space of 3 years after television came to Fiji, the people in Fiji went from really valuing kind of a rounder, plumper size to valuing skinniness. And so there's no doubt that seeing images, especially, you know, these days, seeing photoshopped, filtered, all kinds of, you know, images that are unrealistic, makes us feel bad about ourselves. So what can we do? What can we do about this? Start with going on a social media diet, a magazine diet. Limit your exposure to media images, especially advertising, by the way. But Instagram. I'm on Instagram Live right now. So, but you know, only follow people that make you feel good about yourselves is the other thing that I would say. Don't follow people that make you feel bad about yourself. Here's another thing I recommend. This is gonna blow your mind, because when you do what I'm gonna tell you to do, you're gonna be amazed and rethink your ideas about what is beauty. Watch some foreign TV. I recently became obsessed with French detective television. Like, the show Spiral is incredible. Incredible. If you have Netflix, you can watch it too. So good. So many incredible shows out of France and Sweden. And anyway, so when you watch these shows, what really stood out to me when I first started watching these shows, what stood out was that I was seeing real people with real faces and real bodies. And I'm talking about women and men with wrinkles, all kinds of body types, older people who weren't trying to look decades younger or dress decades younger or be skinnier. And they were beautiful. So it really made me realize how accustomed I've been here in the United States to seeing people who are sort of Botoxed or filtered or shot full of fillers or whatever it is that people do. I didn't realize how much American media had skewed my expectations about what is normal until I saw foreign TV. And, you know, it is really great to see what real people look like, not Botoxed and surgically enhanced with fillers or skinny with big fake boobs. No, it was refreshing to see these real people, and that's what we need more of. Because when you see real people, you're going to feel better about your real self. And that is something I suggest that you do. And I'm going to save the rest of these recommendations for another time, because that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific. You can also catch older episodes on the LA Talk Radio archives or on iTunes. Just look for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on iTunes or anywhere where you get podcasts. And if you like the show, please, please leave me a review. It helps so much. The more reviews I get, the more it shows up on searches and the more people that I can reach and help. And so I would be so appreciative if you help me out in that way. Again, the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on iTunes. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Happy Valentine's Day. And I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.